We'll begin today's broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio with this thought about how we're too hard on ourselves, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
Don't be too hard on yourself. Many times I've found after so many years of counseling that we're harder on ourselves than God has ever been with us. We have standards that we set that are a little bit legalistic and unrealistic, and we shouldn't do that. God gives us a lot of room, His grace. And Paul told the Christians, be strong in the grace of God. And we should be full of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Thanks for joining us for the Friday edition of CNV Radio with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. This is part two of a message we've titled, Jesus Walks on the Water. Obedience isn't an option when it comes to God's relationship with His children. It's a requirement. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He provided His Son, Jesus Christ, who bears the marks of each trial, every burden, and any temptation we might ever face. Spending time alone with the Father in prayer keeps our hearts open to receive His love and allows us to release those burdens that Christ bore so readily on our behalf. Let's join Mike now from the pulpit at Calvary Chapel in Tustin, California, as he continues in Mark chapter 6 and 7.
Do you ever get a time when you wonder what God's doing? Is there anybody here that does? Yeah? Okay, an honest man. All right. It's good because we need to totally depend on Him for everything. There was a lady last night in Las Vegas that she had like three couples and her husband had come to the service. And they wanted to say how much they were blessed to watch Pastor Barry and myself on his channel every week. And I guess they did it as a group, lives in the same neighborhood near the church. And she had stage 4 cancer. And her husband was saying, would you mind saying a prayer? And I said, no, don't mind doing that. And then I told her Kathy's story. She was given 2 months to live, and that's been a year and a half. And here's somebody from here that plays the piano that's in the worship team ministering to a woman she's never met before. But I know the pain and suffering that Kathy's gone through. And I knew exactly when she told me what her problem was, the pain and suffering that she's gone through. And the key was, don't lose hope. Don't lose sight of Jesus in the midst of this horrible physical situation. Because He could change everything in the snap of a finger. You just don't know totally what God is doing. But the devil would like us to lose hope in every situation, give up, throw our hands up in the air, and quit. And that's not how the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all of your ways, and He shall direct your paths. That's a very simple proverb we all learned as baby Christians, but it still works. Trust in Him with all your heart. And they are learning this lesson out where they are experts, once again, that they don't have all the answers and they're trying to still figure it out. So then He went up, got into the boat. They're greatly amazed and they couldn't understand it. They marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves of bread because their hearts were hardened. That's frightening, isn't it? Their hearts were hardened. They just saw Him feed the thousands of people. And remember, they're the ones that said, send the crowd away. And He said, no, you feed them. And the Lord breaks the bread, and then He blesses it. And then they go out and feed everybody. And then 12 baskets fulls come back, one for each person that served Him. He gave more than anybody needed just for serving Him. So there's a lesson there, but they didn't get the whole picture. It says so right here. They're still talking about what happened over here. And He's already gone over, delivered the man with the pigs and gone over here and He's done this and He's going back over here. And they're still back 3 days earlier, hung up. We grow as Christians. We don't stop growing until we put down the word and we put down prayer. We need the word and we need prayer. We'll always grow. There is not a litmus test to see if you're spiritual or not. We always grow in the Lord, and our faith should always increase. And so they're still hung up on the past instead of going forward with what Jesus is doing now. But he's going to be very gentle with them. He's a good teacher. He's going to bless them. But it's sad to see their heart was hardened. They had their own conception of how things should be, and they weren't letting go of their way yet. So in verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately, there you go again, third time, just in a few verses, the people recognized him. And they ran through that whole surrounding region, and they began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Now, I like this because this should be happening all the time, that people should be running when they know Jesus is somewhere. And all the friends of the sick people would be saying, this is where you want to be because Jesus is there. You want to hear about him. You want him to touch you. You want him to love you. You want to understand him. You want to be more like him. But for some reason, the church in our country, at least, I haven't lived in other countries, so I've traveled to lots of them, gets set in its ways. And each one is totally different than the next one, but we all have the same and common denominator of the Bible, the Lord Jesus, prayer. Jesus is the head of the body. But our schedules and our calendars are more important to being in the position of immediately, God wants you to turn right, but you've got your plans, you're going this way. And this is a little bit of what they're growing through right now, that they no longer are in charge. He's in charge. And that's what holds revival back. The body of Christ has its own schedule. It's doing its own thing. And if the Lord's over here and I've got plans over there, it's going to be two different directions. And we'll be always 2 or 3 days behind like them. But as you know, they grow out of this. And they actually become very strong and powerful when we get to the book of Acts. And we see the epistles that were written and the spiritual lessons that they learned. So we're watching them grow spiritually, actually. Mark is showing us the apostles growing, which reminds us that we must grow. And we think of the third chapter, 2 Timothy. Paul says, you remember what kind of a man I was in your midst, all the persecutions I went through in Iconia, and he names all the towns and how he suffered and was persecuted. And through it all, the Lord delivered me. And he was teaching them, you've watched my lifestyle. You've listened to my word. You are a witness that I have been used by God. And he has delivered me from all the evils of the devil and from the pains of the flesh. So he's instructing that just by his presence, and that's what Jesus is doing, just by him doing things the correct way allows us to change habits and to follow him. And Jesus said, if any man is my disciple, let him pick up his cross daily and follow after me. And so it's a daily situation. And I think you'll pick up on it as we get closer to chapter 16, how the maturity comes in. And one thing is, don't be too hard on yourself. Many times I've found after so many years of counseling that we're harder on ourselves than God has ever been with us. We have standards that we set that are a little bit legalistic and unrealistic, and we shouldn't do that. God gives us a lot of room, his grace. And Paul told the Christians, be strong in the grace of God. And we should be full of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. Definitely mercy. Blessed are the merciful, because we'll receive mercy. But sometimes Christians aren't very merciful. They judge one another harshly. And to be merciful means that when I need the mercy, he's going to give it to me. And forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And for some reason, like these men, their hearts were hardened in this way because they didn't understand what Jesus just did. Is that we need to forgive each other, and then we'll get forgiveness. But if we have to be in control, and we have a church of, let's say, 100 people and 100 individuals all going their own way, it's just like them rowing out there in the middle of the storm. But when we're all walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's a walk that needs to be developed, not just a head knowledge and really good Bible study. That's very important. But what are we doing with that good Bible study and that knowledge that we have from the Word? Are we actually living it? And that's the important thing. So I want to encourage you, as we go along, note in your own mind how you say, hey, this guy is maturing a little bit from where he was when we first started, and Jesus is being so patient. I just always found it amazing that he almost walked by him. Like, oh, I didn't know you guys were over here. Yeah, he knows where we are. They crossed over. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized them, ran through the whole surrounding region. They began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Now, do you think they heard the story of the two generations being touched in one day by Jesus? The woman who was bleeding for 12 years said this exact same thing. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she did. And he turned around and said, who touched me? And then they said, can't you see there's a big crowd around you? Of course. How do we know who touched you? And he said, no, I felt virtue go out of me. Somebody just got healed. And the woman, trembling and humble, came to him and said, it was me. I did that. It looks to me like maybe that story ricocheted through the crowd, and they begin telling other people that she just touched the hem of her garment. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. And then Jairus comes up, and his daughter, who's 12 years old, is home dying in her bed. And that girl was healed and raised up by Jesus. She was born the same year that the woman began to bleed. Two different complete generations, and Jesus reached over here and touched this one, reached over here and touched that one. But the word must have gone around the whole area of Gennesaret, and people said, well, if we can just get our sick uncle here, our sick grandpa here, if we could get mom over here, if we could get this person, and he walks by, we'll beg him to do something. I find it interesting, it wasn't people making up healings. There's a lot of that going on right now. People thinking they have some supernatural power. It's Jesus doing the healing, and these people knew it wasn't the 12 guys they were looking to, it was Jesus they were looking to. And you never want to take your eyes off of Jesus. There are no celebrities in the body of Christ. There are no heroes that have more faith than anybody else. People love their flesh to get a lot of attention. But notice what the scriptures say. The people in the whole region ran. Why? Because they cared so much for the person they love. And they knew that if he would come, he was so reasonable. And this is what's great about knowing Jesus, that he's so personable. He's so one-on-one. And it should be in your life, too. You can talk to him. You can sing with him. You can laugh with him. You can pray to him. You can pray in his name. I was going through Pastor Chuck's Prayer Changes Everything book last month, and I forgot a point that he taught so clearly and so well, and that was to go to the throne of God according to the Word of God, and in the name of His Son, quote that verse that Jesus said, if two or three of us touch hands agreeing on anything in earth, and we ask it in His name, then our Father in heaven will give it to us. And that's really important, to go with knowledge and God's own word. He's not going to go back on his word. And I love it. These people, it shows their love. But it shows this crowd understands. They begged him. They knew that he would answer their request. And don't ever forget that. No matter how depressed you may get, how lonely you may get, how rejected you may feel, Jesus will come down off the mountain and walk out on the sea and do whatever you need to get done, not to be a miracle worker, but he understands you. Other people may not understand you. I was so touched by you as a couple last Sunday night because you understood that woman. And yes, she denounced Satan. I remember you were very explicit about that. And You said about her homelessness, that you understood the pain of homelessness. And she opened up. And then all of you come down and start praying for her. And the ladies, some ladies in the church took her and got her a meal and a hot shower and a lady's life, you know. And Dave, if you don't mind me saying, one of the security guys was out there and she came up with the cart. And apparently a lot of carts come through here and he was telling her you can't park it there in the hallway or whatever. And he said he almost said, you can't go in there. And he went, and he did, and she came in, and she prayed to receive the Lord. You see, we don't know what God is doing. And that's okay. But don't get frustrated about it. Just wait on the Lord. Keep those scriptures in mind. Wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait, the scriptures say. So wait on the Lord and renew your strength. And you say, well, he's always done it this way before. Well, maybe he wants to do it a little different this time. Amazing. Just amazing when we let him be the Lord and us be the servant. And he's got all creation waiting for us. We'll have enough time to figure everything out in eternity. We don't have to control it right now. Just let him be the Lord and we follow him. Does that make sense? Don't struggle all the time inside. So, I loved it that they said what was said the week before, if we can touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him, as many, they were made whole. Remember what he said to the woman, your faith. Woman, your faith has made you whole. And the Bible says, God has given to every man, do you know the rest of it? A measure of faith. That means you in the last row, you have a measure of faith. You over in this row, you have a measure of faith. You in the front row, you have a measure of faith. He's given it to every man. Now, does that mean he's given it to non-believers too? Well, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I wonder if that measure of faith is just big enough that God has made it somewhat simple to find eternal life if you really want it. Because it's by faith we are saved and through grace, not of any works of ourselves, lest we boast. So our faith may be that small, but if we exercise it, the rewards are that big. Totally different. Our minds are all geared through our culture, and we have to step out of that and all the things we've been trained and how to think, and we need to think like Jesus. And now we see that the crowds are thinking by faith, if we can just touch the hem of his garment, while the disciples have hard hearts and are still trying to figure out what happened 3 days ago. That's so silly, isn't it? And it's all about people. Jesus is all about people, of loving them and helping them, introducing his Father to them. So chapter 7, verse 1, then, now here come the guys that have been quiet for a chapter and a half. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. So this is a lynch party. They're coming up from Jerusalem to the Gennesaret area. And when they saw some of his disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, you've read the Bible enough, I'm sure, that you understand that's all these people do is find fault. Always nitpicking. They were Pharisees because they weren't fair, you see. That's why they are that. And when they saw some of his disciples, they found fault. But the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a very special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches, even their couches. Now that woman who was bleeding, nobody could come to her home and sit on a chair or a couch, or they would be deemed unclean, according to the law. So notice that it mentions couches here. They were so legalistic. It was amazing. And the Pharisees were strange dudes. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders?" Notice, not the traditions of the Word of God, but the traditions of the elders of man, because these guys like the power of controlling the crowds and the people. So they're going to nitpick here. "Why do your disciples but not eat bread with that they eat bread with unwashed hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" Huh. Their lips say, "We're very spiritual, we're close to God, look at our robes, look at that we do this, we wash our hands special way, we eat. You've got these ragamuffins running around here and they're not even washing their hands, according to the elders." And this is where Christianity over the centuries has gone a little bit off, that there are so many different groups and they have a lot of tradition of elders, not of the Word of God. And we're not called to follow man. Man did not save our souls. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." It's like the Quran. It doesn't have the word, the town, Jerusalem, anywhere in it. But the Bible, over 660 different times you can find it. And in 1 Kings, you'd be amazed the number of times God says, "This is my city, this is my capital, Jerusalem is mine." And yet, the world is in big strife over who should be in control of the Temple Mount. Well, God's already in control of it, but men think they're in control of it. And this is very interesting. They're ready to build the third temple, and that's definitely going to be built at the end of the age. I don't know if we'll be here to see it or not, but it's all ready to go. You can go on the internet. In fact, the Temple Institute, I first bumped into in 1970-something. At that time, I asked them, "What were your needs?" And they said, "Well, we're okay. You know, they have all the clothes, according to the Old Testament, that the Levitical priest wore. They have all the trumpets. They have the brazen urn where they can wash their hands in the right way when they do sacrifice. Everything that the temple had is built today, pretty much." At that time, they could not engineer or figure out, at that time at least, how to make the golden menorah. Because a solid gold menorah would be so heavy that the branches would break. And I said, "So what would that cost?" And then it was over $25 million. And I said, "So do you need help raising money for that menorah?" And they said, "No, we've got the money." I said, "Oh, really?" Well, now they've got all sorts of things going on over there. And somebody has a peace plan that they haven't laid out yet. But there's this talk of a peace plan, which is very interesting. And when a man of peace comes up and peace and safety is spoken of, we'll probably all be gone at that point. And the temple is going to be built. And this man of peace, who is the son of perdition, is going to bring peace among the Jews and the Muslims. But it won't be for long. So we're living in a very exciting time. And it's so good to know that these Pharisees were really sort of a catalyst for fake Christian priest ministers types of thought and theology that really are not biblical. It only perpetuates man and their organizations. We don't follow man. It was Charles Spurgeon, I think, that said, don't follow the pastor, and he was a great pastor, follow the master. Only follow the pastor if he's following the master. And it's between you and God. There's one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Jesus Christ. He's the only one, and he is the one that loves you so much that he died for you. He loves you. And he wants you, while you're here in Tustin, he wants you to be the best you can possibly be in him.
With that, we'll bring to a close our study for today and hear the balance of the study from Mark's Gospel on the Monday broadcast of Chapter and Verse. Jesus Walks on Water is the title of this message, and we'll pick up right here in Chapter 7, so I hope you'll join us then. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and that's why we've devoted 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's message here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Join us Monday as we continue our series in Mark. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.